Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Who doesn't love to march by the heat of flaming torches and the sound of beating drums? It's the annual Burning of the Beetle in Custer this weekend, where residents take out their environmental frustrations on the man-made carcass of an enormous fireworks-filled bug. Hank Fradel and Paul Horsted are with Custer's Burning Beetle Committee. They join us now on the phone. Paul Horsted, welcome back to In the Moment.
Hey, hi, Lori.
Hi, Hank Fradel. Welcome as well.
Hey, I'm up here at Pageant Hill, and we're getting ready to get this beetle up in the air.
All right. What's the weather like there, Hank?
You know, it's just beautiful right now. I tell you, we got blue skies. It's above freezing and no wind, so it's beautiful right now.
Hank, give us the details of the variety show and the torch march and what everything is happening this Saturday.
All right. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, we're going to be gathering at the Custer High School Theater, where we're going to be having our variety show. We've got just a variety of acts, anything from music to dancers to trick dogs. And so it's going to be pretty exciting. We're then going to go out into the parking lot of the high school, where the fire department's going to be passing out about 150 torches, flaming torches here. We've also got battery-powered torches for the kids. And we're going to be marching behind the Custer High School Drum Corps up to Pageant Hill, where the Burning Beetle is going to be sitting on top of this funeral pyre. That's going to happen about 5 o'clock up here at Pageant Hill. At the same time, the fire department's going to be shooting off fireworks. And I believe that one of the high school groups is going to be selling a little bit of chili here, too. Once we get done with that, then at 6 o'clock, we're going to be gathering downtown. This year, we've got 8 venues downtown serving your favorite drinks and food. And we've got 16 bands and performers playing. So it's going to be a pretty exciting day tomorrow.
Paul, let's go back with a little history to talk about why this started, because it's a lot of fun. It's, a party in some ways, but there's some pretty serious environmental conversations about the forest and forest management. So give us a background of how this all began and what kind of conversations came out of it.
Yeah, well, I'll go back to 1874, but try to be quick. You know, Custer's expedition, took photographs here, and you could see the forest was much thinner back then. And so over, that following 130 years or so, the forest, tended to gradually get denser and denser, which was an ideal environment for the pine bark beetle to emerge in an epidemic proportion. And that was because we were so good at putting out fires, generally speaking, in the Black Hills. It allowed the forest to get denser and denser, whereas in the past, before settlement, there had been this natural fire regime, which would, clear out the forest periodically and leave the big trees and kill the smaller ones. And so simplifying kind of a complex system here, I guess you could say, by the early 2000s, this pine bark beetle emerged. It's always here. It's always in the woods, but it had this ideal environment to spread easily from tree to tree and across thousands of acres. And so I actually got some figures from the Forest Service to make sure I had this correct. And the peak was in 2013, when 34,000 acres, were infested with these bugs. And then it started to decline. And the good news is the Forest Service has declared this epidemic as over. As of 2016, there were only 2,500 acres. And last year, they only counted 2,100 acres, which is, sort of a normal. That's what probably happens almost every year. Because, as I say, the bugs are here all the time. It's just when they had this ideal environment, they could spread more rapidly across a vast area. And I got to say, I'm probably the only one that says this, but, looking at historic photos, even from the 1920s, the forest looks more now like it did historically. It's more natural looking in terms of you see more rock formations, and younger trees are already sprouting up in some of the areas that were affected early on in this epidemic. So, I'm probably, like I said, the only one that thinks this, but I think overall this might have been a good thing for the Black Hills.
You say overall you might be the only one who thinks this. What's the other side of that? That it was,
Well,
it could have been prevented or should have been dealt with differently? Where's the debate?
Yeah, I would say the debate is that people like green trees. I mean, I hear this all the time from pictures I've taken. They love to see the green ponderosa pine. I do too. But when there's too many of them, it's not a natural environment anymore. When they get to the point where it's so dense that very little moisture is hitting the ground, very little sunlight is hitting the ground, so then you are excluding other plants that wildlife depends on. You're also cutting down the amount of water that flows down the mountains into the streams and lakes. There's several environmental factors that come into play. So after a fire, or even after this sort of slow motion epidemic we've had, I'm on my own property. I have a few acres north of Custer, and we lost 160 trees. I figured that was all the trees on the property, but it turns out we actually had more like 500. I had no idea we had that many trees on this few acres. And already in the areas where we cut out our own bug trees, the grass is 3 or 4 feet tall, where before it was just pine needles. I mean, there was nothing there for, you know, deer or elk or, you know, any other animals really to live on except the pine trees. And so now this environment has changed, and I got to say, I like it. I mean, there's bushes starting to come in, and, you know, gradually there'll be pine trees again in those areas. But it's a natural succession that happens. We see it more dramatically after a fire, but we're also seeing it in this particular the pine bark beetle epidemic as well.
And if you're just tuning in and are not aware, Paul Horsted is also joining us for this conversation, is the author of a number of coffee table books of photography, one of which is The Black Hills, Yesterday and Today. Most recent one is Treasures of the National Parks, Yesterday and Today. Hank, back to the big old beetle. Let's talk about how this thing is built and what kind of hours go into constructing it and you know, crafting it so it's going to give you the maximum show with maximum safety.
Well, in November, we start gathering up down at the fire hall on Tuesdays, and we spend about 2-3 hours in the evening cutting out the frame and the patterns for the beetle. And over the course of the next couple months, we just kind of put it together. It's now sitting ready to go down there at the fire hall. Tomorrow, what's going to happen is about 10 o'clock in the morning, we're going to be putting on a trailer, bring it up to Pageant Hill, and set it on top of this funeral pyre that we're building right now. I'm looking out the car window, and the guys are setting the timbers up. It's about 16 feet long, and it's about 8 feet high, and the beetle will be sitting on top of that. And tomorrow, if people are interested, they can come on out here about noon, and you'll see the beetle actually get picked up by a crane and put on top of the funeral pyre. So that's pretty exciting. And the fire department's involved, so they've got lots of det cord and flares and everything else tied into this thing. So it'll put on quite a show for us.
Hank, with 150 burning torches and the beetle itself burning, how do you keep it, contained? And what are the, the safety requirements to make sure that with the weather that you don't create a problem out there in the Black Hills?
Well, there's pretty small danger of having a forest fire. We talked to the people who are going to be carrying the torches to be safe, keep a safe distance from the person in front of you and whatnot. The first year we did this, we didn't quite know what to expect. And I was standing next to the fire chief, and I said, geez, everybody seems pretty close to this thing, aren't they? When this thing lights off, is that going to be a danger? And he looked at me and he says, it's going to be self-regulating. And by golly, it was. And that thing started going up, people backed way off. And so it's pretty exciting up here. And, from the Facebook posts and whatnot we get from people, they just see this as being kind of a wondrous thing.
I was not expecting that, self-regulating.
It is. But it totally is. And, Lori, I should say our Facebook page is Bark Beetle Blues, Bark Beetle Blues. And yeah, as Hank said, there's some photos on there. It's a fabulous photographic event and spectacle. You know, it's a lot of fun.
I'm just
you
wondering,
bring
Paul,
your camera.
Yeah, bring your camera. And how do people handle the sort of the drum corps, the torching, the marching? What's the mood of the crowd during the march up to the beetle itself?
Well, if you've never been in a torch march, okay?
I have not.
It's a life-saving kind of a deal, a life-changing kind of event here.
Absolutely.
You're in a mob, with torches, and you're going to go burn something that you're upset about, And so you can imagine that people love doing this. And we've just, I think that if we had 300 torches, we could probably fill the bill here with people. But it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. It's an experience you don't get every day.
Paul, the first time you held a torch and walked with the crowd, what were you thinking?
Well, I was mostly photographing the mob heading towards me as they came up the hill. But even that was, I mean, the drums are going, and it's a primeval experience. And it's really fun and great photographs. I really enjoy doing it just for fun to see what, to share this with people around the world on our Facebook page and so on. And, we're probably not going to quit with this. I don't know if we've laid plans for next year, but Hank, maybe he should talk about the, we're asking artists to do kind of a lasting legacy project for this event and putting out a proposal for artists to submit their proposals. Hank, do you want to just mention that really quick?
Sure. When we started up Bark Beetle Blues in 2012, we really saw it as an opportunity to use the arts as a way to create a conversation about the environment in the Black Hills. Our environment is changing. At that time, the beetles were just devastating the trees down here. Just this winter, we had a 50,000-acre fire down in, started in Custer State Park. And all these changes have a human element to them, and people are very concerned. And the Bark Beetle Blues Burning Beetle Project really gives people an opportunity to talk about what's going on and figure out what we're going to do. And so anyway, what we've come up with is that we have a proposal out to artists to help us imagine what an art installation might look like in the Custer community that would foster that communication about the environment of the Black Hills. And so, sometimes some people are thinking, well, a little sculpture with a kiosk explaining things might be fine. Other people are looking at more of an environmental interactive kind of experience that takes up a little bit of space. And so anyway, we are asking artists to use their imaginations and help us figure out how we can do this. We have an RFP out on our Facebook page, and if artists are interested in helping us imagine what this might look like, we'd like to hear from them. Tonight at the Expressions Art Gallery, we're going to be having a gathering of folks from the community and artists to kind of have that discussion about what's going to be happening at the Burning Beetle and what we're looking at for the art installation. So that'll be an exciting event between 5 and 7 o'clock at Art Expressions in Custer.
And that Facebook page, again, is Bark Beetle Blues. Paul, a couple minutes left here. What's the conversation now that the Forest Service has declared the epidemic over? What's the conversation about forest management that we need to continue to have around the Burning Beetle and beyond?
Yeah, I think it has raised awareness. That we got to watch this as it regenerates and maybe be a little more proactive. The ideal thing, I think, and I don't want to speak for the Forest Service, I'm certainly not qualified for that, but if you can do prescribed burns, that's the natural state of the forest. There were these periodic areas, periodically the different areas of the forest would burn, and for example, Wind Cave National Park does this on a regular basis. They burn various areas of the park, and Custer State Park does to some extent as well, and the Forest Service when they can. It's just a very tricky issue with everybody living out here. You don't want any of that to get away, of course, and that's what people fear. But it's a historic event, and now we're going to watch this regeneration phase. And I think this will serve to remind people maybe in another 20, 30 years, this could be seeing this again. It's happened before. There's regular episodes of pine bark beetle epidemics in the Black Hills since 1890s when they started keeping records. But this was by far the worst one. So, I'm going to be interested to watch the landscape evolve. I've taken photos from a certain area up in the Harney Peak area or the Black Elk Peak area. I'm going to re-photograph that, repeatedly and kind of watch how that evolves. That's my little role in this, I guess. But I do think it's a really kind of historic event and one that, we're going to watch that change and evolution over the decades to come.
Hank, we've got about a minute left. Let's go ahead and give folks all the details for where they should be in Custer this weekend, what time, and how to prepare.
At 3 o'clock at the high school, we're going to be having our variety show. That's going to last about an hour and 45 minutes. At 4:45, we're going to be heading outside into the parking lot where the fire department's going to have torches. And we will be marching then from the parking lot up to Pageant Hill with a drum corps. At about 5 o'clock, this is all kind of approximate times because, this is a little bit of chaos, but it's a little organized. About 5 o'clock, we're going to be having the fireworks and the burning of the beetle. At 6 o'clock, we're going to be gathering downtown at eight different venues where we have 16 performers and bands playing and with food and drink, and it'll go on until about 8:30. So it's going to be a big day tomorrow.
All right. Check it out on Facebook, Bark Beetle Blues, Hank Fredel, Paul Horsted. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you.
Lori, appreciate it.